of Jesus Christ. I don't intend to preach on every single parable that Jesus spoke or is recorded in God's Word, but on a few. The parables might seem at first to be simple and easy to understand. Perhaps it's because they're very familiar to us. We've heard them. Many of us have heard them growing up from our childhood years, and we think we understand them and have grasped the full meaning. Perhaps we understand the illustrations, the stories that Jesus told, and think we probably also understand fully the spiritual meaning behind these parables. However, what Jesus reveals here in this text is that the spiritual truths that are actually explained by the parables are not easy to understand. It's not as though we have a full grasp of everything that these parables reveal. They're deep, even difficult doctrines. Jesus calls them mysteries. Mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The parables might be familiar. We might know the doctrines, the spiritual truths behind them. But they're deep, even impossible for us to understand without the grace of God. Any correct understanding that you and I may have of the parables of Jesus at this point, any correct understanding that we may gain is only by the grace of God working in our hearts, that understanding. And that this text brings that to the foreground. And so we study these parables in the series so that God in His grace gives us a greater understanding of the spiritual truths behind the parables, not only of the stories themselves and the facts that come out in these stories and illustrations, but especially an understanding of the mysteries, the doctrines, the truths behind these parables. Jesus promises to give us such an understanding. Verse 12, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance." Because Jesus promises such a promise, we have confidence that in the study of such parables, we will have more abundant knowledge than we may already have of the truths within them. We look forward then to these parables. Jesus began to teach with parables toward the end of his second tour through Galilee. This was the second half of his 3-year ministry, public ministry. And Jesus is for the second time in Galilee, where he and his disciples actually grew up. And as you remember, Jesus once said that a prophet is not received well in his own country. And that was the case in Galilee. The first time he met with some opposition, and the second time, especially through Galilee, he met with great opposition against him and his teaching, especially because he was not the kind of king that they wanted. Not an earthly king that would feed them and give them riches and help them defeat the Roman rule, but a spiritual king. And they opposed him because he insisted he was not such an earthly king. After their rejection, it was upon the occasion of their rejection of Jesus outwardly that Jesus teaches the parables. In Matthew 11, he begins to curse many of these cities in Galilee because of their rejection of their Messiah. And then he begins to teach with these parables as a way, as we will see, to hide, to harden the hearts of these Galileans. Verses 1 and 2 records him leaving a house, probably Simon's house, which was located in Galilee, where Jesus habitually went. He left the house and went to the shore of the Sea of Galilee close by, and he got into a boat. And from that boat, he used that boat as his pulpit. He preached to the people on the shore, many of whom opposed him and his teaching. And for some of these people, Jesus meant for the parables to be a revelation of deep spiritual truths. But for many of them, he meant for these parables to hide the truths of the kingdom. We see that We consider this text under the theme, the parables of Jesus. First, what they are. Second, what they are for, or the purpose. And third, how they are beneficial to us. The parables of Jesus, what they are. Second, what they are for. And finally, how they are beneficial for us. Parables are earthly figures that reveal to us spiritual truths about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus sometimes tells a story, like the familiar story of the Good Samaritan, or sometimes he condenses a parable into a much briefer illustration, and not a story, like an illustration of a small mustard seed that grows into a tree. Both kinds are parables, though there are different kinds of parables. They're earthly figures that point to a heavenly or spiritual truth or truths. Just as a minister today might, as he preaches, come up with an illustration to make a spiritual truth more clear to us, so also Jesus in his day would come up with these illustrations to explain, to teach a deep spiritual truth. The literal meaning of the word parable is to set side by side. That is, it's to make comparison. That's what you would do in your mind if you wanted to make something clear. Compare something that you understand with something that you don't quite understand as much. And that's what Jesus would do. He wanted to teach a more difficult spiritual truth, and he had that in his mind. In order to teach it now, he takes a second thing, an earthly thing, something that was much easier for the people to understand, and he sets it side by side with that deep spiritual truth so that it enlightens the minds of the people in understanding the spiritual reality that he was trying to teach. These parables that Jesus used, however, are distinct from the illustrations that man and ministers use today. We said that, like ministers today, Jesus taught with illustrations, and that's what these parables were. But Jesus' parables and his illustrations were different. Don't think that Jesus' parables or illustrations are just some illustrations among many illustrations that anyone can use. But these illustrations, called parables, are divine illustrations. That is, they're the best illustrations. They're the illustrations from God himself. Pictures and comparisons that most effectively and most beautifully and perfectly present the spiritual truth that Jesus taught. Remember, Jesus is God. He has the mind of God. And he knows those spiritual truths perfectly. And what he does in his ministry is pick the best illustrations for these spiritual truths and teaches them to the people. Not only are they the best illustrations, but they are the illustrations that God had in his mind before he created, or when he created the earth. Go back to the time of creation. Go back to the 6 days creation. You remember that? When God spoke and it was done. And he made every minute detail of the things that you see around you. And he planned everything that would take place in the creation. When he did that, when he created everything on this earth, he purposefully did it so that they would be illustrations of the heavenly, so that they would reflect spiritual truths to us. And then now in time, Jesus comes, and knowing how God created and what God intended for these illustrations, now takes those and he presents them to the people. He shows them how God made these things to reveal spiritual truths. Mankind and creative preachers and ministers may come up with good illustrations to describe heavenly realities, but often they come up with illustrations that God did not really intend to illustrate a spiritual truth. For example, some have illustrated the Trinity with an egg, the shell, the yolk, and the white of the egg. And they have said that that is a picture of the Trinity. Perhaps, maybe so. And some have told personal stories, perhaps of their lives of other people, to reveal the virtues that God calls us to have in His Word. And when you hear them, at times you and I might wonder, were these illustrations really intended by God to show a heavenly or spiritual reality? And we might doubt it at times. But we can be sure that when Jesus gives these illustrations and these parables, He who has the mind of God takes the exact illustrations that God wanted to be used at the beginning to show us the spiritual truths of His kingdom. What specifically were the parables about? What do they illustrate? They illustrate the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says in verse 11. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says they illustrate that. The kingdom of heaven is the spiritual rule or the reign of God over all things. As the almighty, powerful dominion of God. The sovereign rule of God over everything. But especially, it is His gracious rule in the hearts of us as people. When we think of the kingdom, we often think of a location, a place, a territory. But first of all, a kingdom is not that. Kingdom literally means the rule or the reign of God, especially in our hearts for our salvation. The reason Jesus calls it a heavenly kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, is that He wants to emphasize that this rule of God, the rule of Himself, Jesus Christ, is not from a position on this earth. Jesus did not come to reign or rule, to exercise His dominion, from a position on a throne in Rome. He did not come to exercise His rule in the White House. He did not come to exercise His rule in a church even. A church building, but He came to exercise His rule from heaven over all things. The kingdom of heaven. Jesus says that these parables illustrate, they picture that rule of God from His heavenly position over all things and especially in the hearts of His people. And they reveal different aspects, many different truths of the kingdom of heaven. The parables, for example, illustrate the character of this king. The character of the king who rules over all things, the judge, the righteous one, and the loving father. Care parables reveal how he brings the people of his kingdom to make them citizens and how he saves them through the cross of Jesus Christ. The parables show what God wants the citizens of his kingdom to do in service of the king and many other aspects of this kingdom. Now you ask, why do we need to know all these different aspects of the kingdom of heaven? Is it really necessary to understand these truths that Jesus is illustrating in the parables? And of course the answer is yes, because the kingdom of heaven, and knowing the kingdom of heaven is the very part of our salvation. Having a knowledge of these truths of the kingdom of heaven helps us to enjoy being citizens of the kingdom of heaven. If we didn't have the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, we wouldn't understand who the king was. We wouldn't understand the righteousness that the king gives to us. We wouldn't understand the salvation and wouldn't get the comfort that the king gives to us. And so the parables are really illustrations of comforting doctrines that we find in God's word so that we know our salvation. If we don't know the truths of the kingdom of heaven, then we don't know where we're going when we die. We don't know who are the citizens and whether we are citizens or not. And so God, Christ Jesus, teaches these things with perfect illustrations, intended to be illustrations from the very beginning. And we need them. We need these parables. We need these illustrations because really the truths of the kingdom of heaven are impossible for us to understand. Jesus calls them mysteries in verse 11. Mysteries, yes, they're hidden. The truths of God, the King, the truths that you learn in catechism class, children, those are the truths of the kingdom of heaven too. The truths that you read in the Bible, the truths that you hear over the pulpit of the kingdom of heaven. All these spiritual truths and doctrines are really impossible for you and me to grasp and understand of ourselves. First of all, because we're earthly creatures. We're earthly. We're from this place. We're weak. And the spiritual things of God and Jesus and our salvation, we can't understand. We hit a brick wall when we try to. We just don't get it on our own. To illustrate, think of the college student or even the high school student. And the college student, high school student, each of them have different gifts, different talents, and even different way that God shapes their minds. So that one college student may be able to engage in the English class and understand everything about grammar and literature and so on and have an easy time with that. Then sometimes you take that English student and put him in a calculus class or a statistics class. And as intelligent as that person may be, he or she hits a brick wall. They just don't get it. It doesn't click. And the person who may have had a hard time in the English grammar class goes to the calculus class and everything's a breeze. It's easy. And so, we are earthly beings. And we understand the things of this earth with our intellectual minds. We can understand science and the things of creation. But then when we get to the spiritual things, it's like being dropped into a calculus class that you just don't get. We have weak minds, earthly minds that simply can't understand the heavenly. And I'll add to that that we're sinners too. Fallen sinners with weak minds that are prone to believe not the truth but the lie. With much faulty knowledge. And it should be obvious then to you that with our weak minds and sinful minds, it's impossible for us to grasp the spiritual truths about the kingdom. So how do we? How can we? One word is revelation. That is, God has to reveal them to us. Outwardly, He has to reveal them to us. Inwardly, by His Spirit, He has to reveal them to us. He's done that with the creation. He's done that through general revelation, as people say. And now Jesus takes these pictures in the creation that are intended to reveal to us spiritual truths. And He expounds on them in the beautiful parables that we will consider. That brings us to the purpose of these parables. What are the purposes that Jesus had when He spoke of these stories and illustrations to the people? Positively, Jesus spoke in order to reveal these saving truths of the kingdom of heaven to His people. Jesus knows our weak and earthly minds. Jesus knows the sinfulness that corrupts our understanding of spiritual things. And so He takes these parables and in a simple way, He reveals the truths, the mysteries of the kingdom of God by them. That's why when the disciples ask in verse 10, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answers in verse 11, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." That was Jesus' good purpose. When He preached, when He spoke these illustrations and parables, His intention, His loving, good intention was to reveal, to show His people, to give them a good understanding of truths of their salvation. That's what a minister, a good minister does. There are too many ministers today, who speak of their illustrations and come up with their stories. And some are very good, impressive, intriguing, interesting stories. But one gets the feeling that when those stories come forth in their elaborate way with their fancy words, And they go on and on, and there's story after story after story, and illustration after illustration, that the minister's intention was not to reveal the Word of God and the truth of God's Word to the people, but rather, the intention has become, in many churches of today, to entertain. Because that's what the people want. Entertainment goes on in the churches of today to fill the pews, not only with bands and drama and skits and so on and coffee shops in the church, but it comes also in the form of many stories so that the people enjoy or are entertained by stories. And often these stories, though they may be good of themselves, are what's remembered rather than the spiritual truth that's supposed to be revealed. Jesus' purpose and any minister's purpose in telling an illustration or telling a story in a sermon was and should be to reveal the truths of the kingdom of heaven and not to entertain. The parables were earthly illustrations that Jesus purposely used so that especially the simple and the less intelligent and the uneducated disciples of his could understand the mysteries of the kingdom. So that not only the doctors and the professors and the ministers and the Pharisees in the church of that day and the leaders in the church of today can understand these truths of the kingdom, but Jesus wanted the parables to be for the children and for the blue-collared worker and for the layperson who may not be able to follow all the theological works of the dogmatics professors of today, but will be able to follow the simple stories that reveal deep truths. He says in Matthew 11:25, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Jesus meant for the parables to hide truths, as we will see, from the wise and the prudent, and especially to reveal them, not just to the babes, not just to the children, but to those who had minds that were simple. That's what he means. He came to save all kinds with equal love for all kinds, even the ones who were more simple-minded. And those simple-minded ones, through the parables, would understand deep, deep, difficult doctrines, truths that would bring comfort to their hearts. And they would understand it better than the most intelligent doctor on this earth. Jesus' purpose for his people, and his elect people specifically, was to show these truths for their enjoyment of spiritual salvation, so that they would be healed, Jesus says, verse 15, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. This was Jesus' explanation of what would take place when his people absorbed and understood those deep doctrines of the kingdom. The result is that they would be healed. They would be converted. They would be given faith, conscious faith, and they would be healed spiritually. That's his purpose, of course, only for the elect. That's who he's talking about in the passage. He's talking to the disciples in verse 10, to the church, to the followers of Jesus, and them only. And may that purpose be accomplished in this congregation too, as we seek to understand those parables of Jesus in this sermon series that Christ, as he speaks through his word, reveals to us who may not yet have a saving knowledge, reveals to us the truths of the kingdom that we might be healed. And those of us who have a saving knowledge may powerfully grow in an understanding of these deep truths. But there's also a negative purpose of Jesus in teaching these parables. And that is actually the main focus of Jesus as he explains to the disciples why he speaks in parables. Because he says, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And then he goes on for most of the passage to explain how the parables are going to be used not to give people an understanding, but to harden them and their unbelief. You see, there were people that Jesus did not want to understand the kingdom of heaven. He did not want to heal them. He did not want to give them faith, and they would not get faith. Remember the context. He was in the time during which the people of Galilee, his own people, were rejecting him. They were outrightly opposed to him because they did not want him as their king. They wanted an earthly king. And Jesus knew the hearts of many of these people. Not only did they reject Christ at this time, but they were the rejected of God. The reprobate children of Satan. And Jesus taught these parables to keep the truths of the kingdom of heaven secret and hidden from others. That was his conscious purpose, to harden. Verses 13 and 14, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. The parallel passage in Mark 4, verse 11 makes clear that it's the reprobate that Jesus had in mind. Unto you, he says to the disciples, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, he says, to them that are outside, all these things are done in parables. Outside what? Without what? The sheepfold. The gathering of his true church. His true disciples. Those are outside. Those whom God has not chosen to be one of his. They would be hardened. They would hear the stories. They would see those illustrations. The reprobate would be able to tell you the story of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son. But spiritually, they would not be able to understand by faith. Many of the Pharisees, many of the people in Galilee, many of people today who hear these parables, misinterpret them, don't understand them, and are hardened. What is true of the teaching of parables by Jesus is true of all the teaching of God's Word. When the preaching comes, there is a twofold purpose. It is not only to bring to his people, to his elect people, a saving understanding of the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, but is also to harden in unbelief. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, really a trap, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, preaching of Christ and him crucified, that central truth of the kingdom of heaven. Yes, that's the power of God to save, but it's also a trap and a way in which many see the gospel as foolishness. 2 Corinthians 2:16, to the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other, a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? God means that when the ministers bring the word, it is meant to take those who are dead in sin and reprobate and bring them on their way to death. Death unto death. And life unto life. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes this truth, is struck. Who, he exclaims, who is sufficient for these things? As the minister preaches, and as you witness of that gospel of Jesus Christ, you must be conscious, we must be conscious of this amazing and yet tragic result of the truth of God's word. Amazing, Because God uses weak means to save. But tragic. Because He also uses us to bring to hell. There are two ways that Christ intended that His parables especially prevent the reprobate from coming to a saving knowledge. The first, the parables were made the truths of the kingdom of heaven so clear to the minds of the reprobate that they hated it all the more. That's how they prevented them from coming to an understanding. It brought the truth so starkly to them that it made them hate it even more. It was like a blinding light that shone into their eyes. And they turned away, rejecting it and despising it. Jesus was the best teacher, the best illustrator. And when the reprobate, especially the Pharisees, understood the doctrines of the parables, they were offended. Jesus intentionally made it so clear so that they were hardened. They believed the truth of the kingdom of heaven like the devils do, like Satan their father, knowing it and rejecting it. Jesus meant for the parables to harden in this way. He meant for the truth of the gospel to harden in this way. And with trembling, knowing this, with trembling, I preach on these parables. Knowing that it also will harden even those within the church who are the reprobate. But he also indicates a second way of preventing the reprobate from receiving the truth. Not only to make it so clear that they hate it more, but also to make others understand the story, understand the illustration, but not get to the meat, not get to the truth behind it. They would be entertained by the story. They would be impressed with the authority with which Jesus told these parables, the creativeness with which Jesus spoke them, but the spiritual significance behind them, the actual important things that Jesus was communicating would be lost in their minds. There were people in Galilee who would hear the stories of Jesus and never hear the explanations of those stories. It was like hearing an illustration without hearing what that illustration was picturing. And Jesus did it on purpose so that they would not come to a saving knowledge of the truth. There were many who knew the stories of the parables, but they were satisfied with that. They were satisfied with knowing the story, and they weren't eager to ask Jesus, "What do these things mean?" They were too lazy to work at understanding it. They were too interested and entertained with the illustrations and not interested in the meaning. People of God, that's a warning for us. It's easy for us to come to read the parables, to understand the intriguing stories that Jesus tells and the illustrations that are very, very pointed and graphic. Wonderful stories. But then we leave here and what we remember is the great story rather than the deep spiritual truths that were supposed to be communicated in the story. Don't let that happen. That is what Jesus intends for the reprobate to have happen as they listen to the parables. Jesus means for us, the elect, to hear those stories and come to a grasp and a remembrance of the deep spiritual truths that are illustrated. Jesus made sure that the parables would prevent the reprobate from not hearing. They would not be healed. The Arminian and the promoters of common grace and free offer will say today, Jesus wants everyone to be saved. He always did. He always wants people to receive His word and believe and be healed. You say that when the stories of the parables and when the preaching of the gospel comes, that itself is grace, many will claim. But the word of God is clear here. Jesus' purpose, one of His great purpose, though tragic as it is, in speaking the parables and preaching, was so that many would be hardened. That, of course, does not take away from the responsibility of those who walk in unbelief and reject the gospel through these means. doesn't mean that they're not at fault. Doesn't mean that it's Jesus' fault and God's responsibility. Jesus maintains both His sovereign hardening of their hearts and the wicked's responsibility in rejecting the gospel. Both He maintains in the text, especially verse 15. This people's heart is waxed gross, He accuses them. That is, this people's heart is made fat. They're thick. And their ears are dull of hearing. That is, they hear dully. And especially their eyes, they have closed. O Christ sovereignly makes sure that they're hardened, but at the same time, they willfully close their eyes, turn away, and reject the gospel. While it is true that Jesus and God sovereignly hardens at the same time, as difficult as it may be for us to understand, it is their fault, the wicked's fault. Jesus spoke the parables with that twofold purpose, to bring us, the elect, to an understanding of the gospel, of the kingdom, and to prevent others from being healed. And Jesus spoke the parables, I believe, for most of us, so that we are benefited. We're benefited with a saving knowledge and growth and an understanding of the kingdom. Now the question is, how do we benefit? How can we be benefited with them in this series of sermons? Yes, we must study them carefully. We must interpret them. We must focus in when a sermon is being preached. And then we must be here when the sermons are preached on the parables. We must not neglect to do so. But Jesus shows how especially they're going to be beneficial. Not by might. Not by power. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by your zeal, not by your focus, not by your work, though He works in you to do that, but by His grace, all salvation, including faith and a growth and an understanding of the salvation that He has worked for you, is all given by grace. The two words in the text that show that explicitly are the words given and the words blessed. Verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Jesus is saying the only way you disciples are going to come to an understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom, which is impossible for you on your own to understand, the only way that I give you the gift of faith. If I work my Spirit in your hearts so that you can believe, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed. That means happy. You have been made happy because God has bestowed upon you that ability to see and the ears that can hear and the heart that can understand. God has blessed. Blessed means not earned, but been given. You're going to come to church and you're going to hear sermons, not only on the parables, but especially on the parables in the next series, and you're going to understand. By God's grace, you will understand the illustrations. You will understand the truths behind the illustrations especially. You're going to believe those truths. You're going to love the truths of the spiritual kingdom of heaven all the more. And you're going to think, I was pretty good today, this Sunday, at listening. I focused in pretty well. And I'm leaving here, not just with an illustration in my mind, but with a deep spiritual truth that's going to help me through this week. And you want to pat yourself on the back. But it's all of faith. It's all of grace, I mean. It's all a gift. Be thankful instead of proud. the only reason you can come, we can come to an understanding of these parables is by God's grace. Grace upon grace. He gives abundant grace. More grace than we have experienced up to this point in our lives. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Those who have not, that Jesus talks about at the end of that verse, are the reprobate. Jesus does not give to them an understanding of the kingdom. They may have an understanding in this sense. They outwardly have faith. That was the Pharisees in that day. Those are the hypocrites in the church today. They outwardly look like they have faith. They seemingly look like they have a grasp of the truth of the kingdom of heaven and they're saved. But all that outward show, Jesus says, even the very resemblance of faith, even that will disappear. It will be proven to be ignorance. It will be taken away from them. But those who have, that is, those who are the elect, whom God has worked faith in, He not only gives faith one time, not just that grace, but He says more abundance. Grace upon grace upon grace. Not just one bit of knowledge of the kingdom, but more knowledge and more joy. Gracious abundance of an understanding of that kingdom. That's what He promised the disciples, strikingly in verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. He's telling the disciples, disciples, you know what? There's going to be so much knowledge given to you in the way of these parables. You're going to come in a better understanding of the saving grace of God. So much more, even, than the Old Testament prophets. Those disciples must have been struck by that grace of God to them who are uneducated and sinful men. That's the hope. And that's the prayer that we have as well as we go through these parables. That Jesus works through His Word to give us an even greater understanding. More abundance, as He says, in the way of parables. So let it be. Let us pray.